3. True worship. Though the paradise deities, from the universe standpoint, are as one, in their spiritual relations with such beings as inhabit Urantia, they are also three distinct and separate persons. There is a difference between the Godheads in the matter of personal appeals, communion, and other intimate relations. In the highest sense, we worship the Universal Father and Him only. True, we can and do worship the Father as He is manifested in His Creator Sons, but it is the Father, directly or indirectly, who is worshipped and adored. Supplications of all kinds belong to the realm of the Eternal Son and the Son's spiritual organization. Prayers, all formal communications, everything except adoration and worship of the Universal Father, are matters that concern a local universe. They do not ordinarily proceed out of the realm of the jurisdiction of a Creator Son. But worship is undoubtedly encirculated and dispatched to the person of the Creator by the function of the Father's personality circuit. We further believe that such registry of the homage of an adjuster indwelled creature is facilitated by the Father's spirit presence. There exists a tremendous amount of evidence to substantiate such a belief, and I know that all orders of Father fragments are empowered to register the bona fide iteration of their subjects acceptably in the presence of the Universal Father. The adjusters undoubtedly also utilize direct propersonal channels of communication with God, and they are likewise able to utilize the spirit gravity circuits of the Eternal Son. Worship is for its own sake. Prayer embodies a self or creature interest element. That is the great difference between worship and prayer. There is absolutely no self request or other element of personal interest in true worship. We simply worship God for what we comprehend Him to be. Worship asks nothing and expects nothing for the worshipper. We do not worship the Father because of anything we may derive from such veneration. We render such devotion and engage in such worship as a natural and spontaneous reaction to the recognition of the Father's matchless personality and because of His lovable nature and adorable attributes. The moment the element of self-interest intrudes upon worship, that instant devotion translates from worship to prayer and more appropriately should be directed to the person of the Eternal Son or the Creator Son. But in practical religious experience there exists no reason why prayer should not be addressed to God the Father as a part of true worship. When you deal with the practical affairs of your daily life, you are in the hands of the spirit personalities having origin in the third source and center. You are cooperating with the agencies of the conjoint actor. And so it is. You worship God, pray to, and commune with, the Son, and work out the details of your earthly sojourn in connection with the intelligences of the Infinite Spirit operating on your world and throughout your universe. The Creator or Sovereign Sons who preside over the destinies of the local universes stand in the place of both the Universal Father and the Eternal Son of Paradise. These Universe Sons receive, in the name of the Father, the iteration of worship and give ear to the pleas of their petitioning subjects throughout their respective creations. To the children of a local universe, a Michael Son is, to all practical intents and purposes, God. He is the local universe personification of the Universal Father and the Eternal Son. The Infinite Spirit maintains personal contact with the children of these realms through the universe spirits, the administrative and creative associates of the Paradise Creator Sons. Sincere worship connotes the mobilization of all the powers of the human personality under the dominance of the evolving soul and subject to the divine directionization of the associated thought adjuster. The mind of material limitations can never become highly conscious of the real significance of true worship. Man's realization of the reality of the worship experience is chiefly determined by the developmental status of his evolving immortal soul. The spiritual growth of the soul takes place wholly independently of the intellectual self-consciousness. The worship experience consists in the sublime attempt of the betrothed adjuster to communicate to the Divine Father the inexpressible longings and the unutterable aspirations of the human soul. The conjoint creation of the God, seeking mortal mind, and the God revealing immortal adjuster. Worship is, therefore, the act of the material mind's assenting to the attempt of its spiritualizing self, under the guidance of the associated spirit, to communicate with God as a faith son of the Universal Father. The mortal mind consents to worship. The immortal soul craves and initiates worship. The divine adjuster presence conducts such worship in behalf of the mortal mind and the evolving immortal soul. True worship, in the last analysis, becomes an experience realized on four cosmic levels: the intellectual, the moronial, the spiritual, and the personal. The consciousness of mind, soul, and spirit, and their unification in personality.